kids. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and this show is Fish Out of Agua with Michelle Carlo. Today is Tuesday, August 15, 2017, and if you're hearing my voice, you can rest assured that the MAD, or Mutually Assured Nuclear Destruction, the thing with the orange oven on his head and the despotic popinjay from the other side of the world have been banding about, has not yet occurred. Is this a reason to celebrate? To stockpile cat litter? Or maybe to just try not to worry, well, too much about things that are totally out of your control and enjoy another summer's day spent above ground? Yeah, waking up even in the midst of chaos is better than a dirt nap, I always say, because sometimes a girl just wants to have... And we're back with Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. That was Girls Just Want to Have Fun from Cyndi Lauper's album She's So Unusual, released September 6th, 1983. And guess what, kids? It's another summer song from my well-spent youth. Hey, have I left out any summer songs that you'd like to hear? We do technically have 5 weeks of summer left after today. And if you request a summer song from your well-spent youth, I'll play it. Just email me at fishoutofagua@radiofreebrooklyn.org. And here's another summer song that was actually released the very next day after Girls Just Want to Have Fun, on September 7th, 1983. Hey, I didn't plan this. It's a song that today's guest artist picked for this episode. Is that freaky deaky or what? Well, you know what I always say, dance 'em if you've got 'em. That was Madonna Louise Ciccione's Holiday from her eponymous studio debut album of the same name in 1983. And now it's time for my favorite part of the show. Everybody, welcome to Fish Out of Agua's Guest Artist of the Week. Woohoo! This is my favorite part of the show because I'm sitting here with one of my favorite performers in the entire world. Yes, I know every week I say they're my favorite, but it's true. Everybody is my favorite. And this woman is an actor, like a legit actor, not like basement actor. She is like a legit actor. She's a poet. She's a comedian, a cancer activist, a lovely Dominicana with the hair going to there. And her name is Jenny Saldana.
Saldana.
Saldana. Good. Correct my Spanish. Please be like my Titi.
I'm so excited to be here. I haven't seen you in forever. I love that we're sipping wine.
Yes, yes, yes.
Being a couple of ladies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, afternoon wine.
Only the best for Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes, yes, as long as we're out of agua and into the vino.
Yes. Oh, my God. I am so happy that you were able to get you on because I couldn't get you last season. So what we're going to start with, we're going to be talking about our trajectory to getting to from point zero to where we are to and what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. But what I can't remember is how we met.
I don't remember either. You had talked about that before, and I was like, I don't remember if we met. I don't remember. I don't remember. I just thought, I think we just morphed.
You know what I think it is? I think it's the famous Linda Nieves Powell connection.
Yes. I think I met you before I met her, actually.
Really?
Because I met Linda after I was diagnosed with cancer. I'd known you longer than that.
Wow. Did I meet you at the New Eurekan?
Probably the New Eurekan. You auditioned for Dancing in the Mirror.
Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh, she's bringing up shit from the 90s. Oh my God.
So.
Oh my God.
My first play, you auditioned for that. I wasn't casting, so I wasn't, don't be mad that you didn't get the part.
I didn't even remember I did it, so I'm not mad. Trust me.
So I think I've known you longer than Linda.
Wow, because I know.
But Linda probably reconnected us again.
Yeah, well, Linda cast me. I keep saying it. People that listen are going to be like, is this girl, meaning me, going to ever shut up about Linda Nieves Powell and a date with her dead husband, Hector? I'm sorry. That was like an HBO. Like, she got commissioned by HBO to write that play. So I'm going to praise her again.
Oh,
yeah. Anyway,
goodness.
But we did do Soul Latina together with her.
Yeah. And Soul Latina, no, yes and no. Because Soul Latina, she used some of Dancing in the Mirror for Soul Latina. So I collaborate on Soul Latina, but not as an actor.
Oh,
But you
had the rehearsals though. I think I don't know.
I
remember.
I don't
remember.
Know.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think we morphed.
Right. Enough. Okay, so where are you from?
I'm Dominican, so I'm from Washington Heights.
Woo! I was born there too.
What? So I'm from Washington Heights. Went to high school in Miami.
Miami.
Went to college in Pittsburgh. Followed a boy. He dumped me when I got there.
It's always the boy.
Girl. But we're actually really good friends now, so that's fine. And moved back to New York after college. And, you know.
Last year.
Yeah, just last year. Because, yes, I only met you.
Right.
I wrote Dancing in the Mirror in utero.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So, yeah, then that, then... Got a little thing called cancer in 2006. Then wrote a play about that, and that's how I met. I met Linda. Yeah, it was still around there. I met Linda around there, and then Linda produced my cancer play, Pink: The Chronicles of BC Jenny.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that.
We did a bunch of stuff together. We've done a bunch of stuff together, and you and I've just been in each other's orbit.
For years.
The late 90s, yeah.
Yeah, for years, for years. So, oh my God. So what? How did you get started into being a performer?
I was a theater major in college. I was a thespian in high school. I was part of the thespian honor society in high school. I've been acting since PS 28 in Washington Heights.
I went to PS 28.
Shut up! No, you did not go
to PS 28. Yes, I did. I'm not going to tell you what year. Porque yo creo que yo esta yo soy más vieja de ti.
Que tú.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever. I'm not speaking Spanish anymore.
Yes, on PS28. Yeah,
I went there for 1 year only.
Oh, no, I graduated from PS28.
This is the first time I ever spoke Spanish on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ah, bienvenida.
I know.
So I've just always been a ham and performing. And I get, it's the same story that Linda tells, the same story that you tell, that you get to a point, especially when we started out, where there wasn't any of us, you know?
No, not yet.
So you had to write it. When I went to college, so I went to school in Pittsburgh. I was the only Latina a lot of people had ever met. The only reference they had in the 90s was either Maria from Sesame Street or Rosie Perez.
Oh.
Or Morales from, of course, none of them were theater people. Those were the only three Latinas they ever knew. So I would either be called Rosie, Morales, or Maria.
Wow. And you'd be like, my name is Jenny.
Yes, my name is Jenny.
Oh,
and
my God.
So, you know, and then so then a while ago, I started writing. I started writing Dancing in the Mirror, and, you know, because I wanted to create my own content. And that won a national award, and we...
Which award?
It was called a small national award. It was called the National Latino Playwrights Festival.
Wow. That's not small.
I don't think it was that.
Well,
yeah, it was based out of Texas, but it was a national thing. He was one of five nationwide to get selected to. So that was like, I did it at the Here Space when NBC was doing that thing.
Oh, PSNBC.
PSNBC.
I remember I did a show. I did a show called I did the Search for My Inner Latina there.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and did you get picked to go to Aspen? Did you get to?
Didn't get picked.
No, I didn't get picked either.
I did that. I mean, to that show, that one performance, like Wanda Sykes showed up to that performance. And like
really?
Keith Robinson showed up to that performance. And they were like, you need to, like, they were pushed, and they're both comedians. So they're like, you need to get up. Like, you need to stand up. And I was like, man, I still had my corporate job, and I was just too scared then. And, you know, I was younger, and you think like, oh, what if? But I wouldn't have done the work then. I wouldn't have done it, you know? So then I was like, oh, I'm a one-hit wonder. And that one hit wasn't even a hit, you know, because I didn't have anything else. Like, I didn't feel anything else to write. And then here I get. Then I get breast cancer in 2006. I write a play, and it became my opus, and I toured colleges, thanks to Linda Nieves Powell. I toured colleges all over the country with it. I won the Nuestras Voces. I won third place in Nuestras Voces, the MetLife Nuestras
Voces. Wow,
Nuestras
see, that's big.
Yeah.
That's third, big.
Yeah, that's a national one.
Wow.
And that's
the award-winning playwright.
Español. Yeah.
Wow.
And I won third place in Nuestras Voces with MetLife, and that was amazing. You know, and then again, you do the theater. I did that, and then I was, oh, man, I don't know what to do. And then I started lecturing about cancer and speaking about cancer and just being an activist and just being everybody's cancer madrina. You know, I don't know if you know Sofia Quintero.
Yes,
but she calls me her cancer madrina.
Oh, you know? Wow!
And I'm everybody's cancer madrina, but, and I'm very proud. And I take that title very,
people need
very
to
seriously.
Be aware, because a lot of Latina women don't take as good care of themselves as mm-hmm. they should, and a lot of it is education.
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
There's a big fear of doctors.
Absolutely, I mean, a mistrust.
Yeah, I mean this. Yeah, it's just the mentality, and like
it is.
I think that we are. I don't know if it's we get this from the air or if it's microaggression or I don't know what you would want to call it, but I think that we are conditioned to not want to take care of ourselves and not be aware.
Several things. I think it's several things. So if we look at the Latino diaspora in the United States, there's the sterilization of the Puerto Rican women.
Yes, in PR.
In PR, so yeah. There's that.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah, they guinea pigged us. Well, not me.
No, but, yeah,
but they guinea pigged women in Puerto Rico with the birth control pill.
Right.
And, so, like, and they all got cancer because they were fiddling around with what was going to be the correct dosage.
Right.
Until they got it right.
Until they got it right. And, so there was that. There was a sterilization of the women in Puerto Rico. There was, I mean, even before us, even it wasn't Latinos, but the Tuskegee experiment with the black
with,
man.
With the syphilis. Yeah.
And then you come here, you don't speak the language, they'll give you anything. They'll give you low rate service if you don't have the money or the voice, and so you get scared because you think you're gonna get a quack. Like even little things, like when my parents when they came to the United States before I was born, they gave all their they saved up all their money to give it to a lawyer because he was gonna get them their papers, and he skipped town, so my parents had to leave. They had to leave town because they became undocumented. They were here on a visa. The visa was going to run out. So this guy's like, well, no, I can do the paperwork to get you guys legal.
God.
And he ran out on them. So
we're just preyed on by our own people.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got robbed and then they had to leave town. They had to leave
God.
To go back to the country.
That's crazy. That's just terrible. It almost seems like it's a self-perpetuating cycle to keep us down.
But I also think that it's on our end. I think it's also like almost like self-preservation. Like, you know, I don't trust you, so I'm gonna take care of myself.
Right.
And it's wrong. And now that I work with Latinas and under and uninsured women, a lot of it is, you know, old myths, and a lot of it is still, we still live in a very patriarchal society. A lot of women will say to me, if I get a mastectomy, he's going to leave me. I go, well, when you die, he's going to go to the next one anyway. So
exactly. And you cannot get the mastectomy, and he can leave you anyway. And then you're going to have no husband, and you're going to have no life. You're going to be dead.
You're going
to
be dead.
So, yeah. By the way, I remember telling my dad, I would just look at what he was eating, and I would say, Daddy, you need to eat brown rice, broccoli, and cantaloupe. And he would be like, if I eat that, I will die. And it would be like, if you don't eat it, you will die.
And
he
did die. You saying 20 years ago, 20 years ago, yeah. They were really like, we're not eating that.
So meanwhile, I'm eating my brown rice, broccoli. Well, no, I'm Latin. If I eat brown rice, I will die. I will die. But the broccoli and the cantaloupe, straw. No, the broccoli and the cantaloupe, yes. Straw. No brown rice. It's true.
You know what I substituted for brown rice? Quinoa.
Yes.
It'll take the flavor. I use it for pasta. I substitute. I've made arroz con coco y gandules,
really?
Pero instead of rice, I've used quinoa.
Oh, I've made arroz dulce with it.
It's like
the tofu with grains.
Yeah, it is. It's a tofu.
Cooking with Jenny and Michelle.
Hello.
A new show. Nutrition. No, back to acting. I want to know what specific challenges or did you have when you were trying to, because you said you had a day job where you're pursuing acting, because there are many people that think, well, I can't have a day job and I can't do art, but you did
you
it and I'm doing
way.
It.
You have to do the hustle. If let's say, you know, you have an audition and it's going to take you longer than your break, then you tell your boss, you know what, I'm going to take this audition, but I promise I won't take lunch for the next 3 days. Whatever works for you. You know, I think the bigger challenges isn't so much having the day job as much as, because you need to feed yourself. I mean, we live in New York City. You it's expensive.
Yes.
You need to feed yourself. You need to.
To pay the rent.
I don't give up wine. Yeah. I don't give up wine.
Clink.
Ching, ching. Ching. So I don't give up wine. We're both drinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are like the Holder and Kathy Lee of Internet Radio.
Yes, we are right now. So, and we would look like them too, right?
Yeah, no, but we're younger.
I know, we are. We are.
My
Holder. But Holder had breast cancer.
She did?
And she has the same plastic surgeon as me.
Oh my God, but I never got married to a football guy.
Yeah,
nor to a millionaire either. No, my boyfriend's a TV cameraman.
Oh, well, does he have a friend? Because I'm single. But, yeah, I think it's more, the challenges is more getting, just getting your foot in and getting seen. And we talk about the stereotypes that they want to put, the boxes that they want to put us in as Latinas. But sometimes it's like one of my favorite movies is, Another World that we're downtown. I love it. Is Working Girl with Melanie Griffin. And she goes,
yes.
You know, you got to put your, you know, she has this line about like, you know, you got to get your foot in the door. But if you're someone like me, you got to cheat to get your foot to get near there, something like that. And that's how I feel. Like sometimes we complain, oh, I gotta play the maid, or I gotta play this, but I'm not gonna turn down a maid's role because that casting director is gonna see me for something else, and I'll have a perfect case in point. So my point is that they like my big curly hair. Like when I have it blown out, I don't get called in as much. My hair's big and curly, natural, whatever, big wild Latina, I get called in for.
The stereotype.
I get called in for all types. Though.
But at least you get called in. But I had to start writing my own stuff because nobody was calling me in for anything.
That's reason.
Because nobody would know what to do with me because, mm-hmm. you know, fish out of agua. I have beige skin, light beige skin, red hair, and pecas.
Mm-hmm.
So like I don't look white enough and I don't look Latin enough.
Yeah.
And cuando hablo español, I get corrected all the time. Right. It was a drawback for me.
It's also like
fluent.
A stigma among Latinos too, like who speaks Spanish, and Linda talks about that too.
Yeah.
But so lately I've been getting called in for a lot of work, and again, case in point, because I've been getting called in a lot, I just booked a film. I don't like to say names until I shoot,
don't say it.
But it's a small, it's a low budget indie part. I play a Spanish speaking, but I'm not a maid. I'm a mother at a school.
Good
with my child. And so,
I mean, good that you got a part.
Yeah.
I mean, and good that it's not a stereotypical role.
But the last two roles that I did.
I mean, a mother's a stereotype. I mean, whatever.
But the things that I can't talk about that I just shot, I shot an episode of Search Party on TBS.
Oh, cool.
Second, but I play a total stereotypical, like, speak English. But I had one line and they let me run with, like, they let me ad lib. They let me stay in the scene. I will be the one thing that you remember from that scene.
That's awesome.
Did it air already? No. They're still shooting. So TBS, I think it's season 2, episode 2 of Search Party.
Wow.
And it's hysterical. Like it was, the show is so over the top that I didn't mind that it was a stereotype because everyone looks it's just so like out there that it doesn't matter. Like it was fine. So then I shot I either play like stereotypical non-English speaking Latina, or I play the sassy Latina, as I call it, the sassy Latina. Mm. So then the next thing is,
like the sassy Black girl.
Yeah. Sassy Latina. You know, the Rosie Perez with I Wear the Hoops, whatever. And I, an indie film called Night Comes On, and I play a waitress, but it's a sassy Latina waitress. But I just feel things are coming around for me. I'm getting weepy because I feel like things, I had a really bad breakup 3 years ago. I call it my marriage. We were together 11 years. Through my breast cancer and everything. The play about my cancer is a love story to him. And it still is. He's great, but we had to end it. 3 years have been difficult for me. You know, without him, I didn't realize how much you would rely on a partner.
Well, you get used to being with somebody. I was with my ex-husband for almost 14 years.
Wow.
And it was a big shock when we broke up. It literally took me 4 years for that to dissipate. Yeah, the fourth year I was able to actually have a friendship with a man and not like glom onto him and think that he was going to be my savior and my new papi chulo.
Oh my goodness.
Like, everybody's going to be my papi.
I'm so happy that you said that because I've been, I actually just recently, and I do stand up, and I just recently shut down all my dating apps, and I wrote a whole bunch of jokes about that because I said, and I talk about in the jokes, I talk about how I felt there was an air of desperation that was coming across that I don't think really is me. And
it's not attractive.
And it's not attractive.
You can see it on somebody else, but you can't really see it on yourself.
Yeah, so I shut everything down. That's when I started booking all these shows.
Yeah. No, it happened. I shut that side of myself down for 18 months while I was writing my book. I was like, you know, the men aren't working. I'm going to make this work.
Yes.
And then when the book was almost, when I had gotten, basically, I had just gotten the book deal. Mm-hmm. Just gotten it. And like, not even like 4 weeks later, I met my papi.
Yeah.
And we're together almost 8 years now.
That's wonderful. So, that's inspiring.
I'm not going to say give up, but when you're like, you know what, this is going to be the way it is, then I'm okay without it. But it has to be like for reals.
Yeah.
Like if you, like say you're smoking cigarettes, you can be like, I want to quit. But you got to like quit.
You got to stop going to the store.
You got to quit and then you don't have the pack in your freezer no more.
Right.
Anymore. Right. Speak properly, children.
I'm glad that you said that because, I just feel really good about myself. And again, blessings come and I think you reap what you sow. And I'm going to Cuba on Friday. So, and again, it goes back to what my father calls my ministry, and which is my work in cancer.
Mm.
I had a theater teacher, one of the theater boosters from high school, who I stayed really good friends with, this wonderful, wonderful man. His name was George Bain. And he was just an amazing, amazing person. We stayed friends after high school and whatever. He knew about my breakup. We'd talk all the time. And in March of this year, 2017, he called me. I remember, but he was a little long-winded, right? So I would be like, I saw his phone. Then I was like, I'll have to call you later. I can't talk to you right now. Then he called me like a week later. I picked up. He's like, hey, listen, I just got diagnosed. I just found out I have colon cancer and I just wanted to talk to you and, it's a little advanced. But I want to come to, he goes, I have another student who just moved up there. I want you to be her big sister. I want you to be her mentor. She's young. She's beautiful. She's great. She's doing a lot of things. She just needs to have a sister up there. She's alone. And I said, absolutely. She goes, I'm going to come up there and see you guys. I said, oh, great, great. And then I said, well, I'm going to find you people in the colon cancer community. I have people, Evelyn, one of our friends, and I reached out to all my people in the colon cancer community, and they all rallied around him. Unfortunately, it was already a little late, so he wasn't able, like, even though everybody reached out to him, he wasn't able to, like, he would tell me, like, tell your friend they called me, but I was asleep. And then he finally, I said, are you coming to New York? He said, I was going to come to visit you. Her name is Jessica. Because I'm going to come see you and Jessica. And then a few days later, he goes, I'm too weak to come. And then he's like, I'm coming to see you. And he came. He was really, really weak. We went to see an off-Broadway production of Anything Goes. He goes, I really want New York Chinese. He came up from Miami. And we went and got Ollie's. 2 weeks later, he died.
I do.
And he left me and Jessica a little, I'm going to call it a scholarship.
And this is how you get into Cuba?
And he was Cuban American. That's how I'm honoring him.
Oh my! I'm like crying.
I know. That's how I'm honoring him.
I'm like seriously crying. Yeah. Oh my God.
He gave us a little scholarship. So not a lot, but a little.
You know that now your trip is going to be the biggest blessing ever.
Yeah. Well, no, oh, so what I decided was, so I started telling people to come with. So now it's six friends of us. And I said, this can't be just a party trip. And also it's difficult to get to Cuba. So I have my best friend's parents are pastors and they're in Florida, but they have a mission church over there.
Right, because you can only go for like humanitarian reasons or educational reasons.
We're all taking clothes and supplies to a church.
Oh, good.
We're doing that.
Good. It's a multifaceted trip.
Yes. Yes. On my scholarship.
I'm going to have to follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, because
I'm going to have to join Instagram. Just for you, Jenny. Oh, I will join
good,
Instagram.
Good, oh my God.
So it's incredible how, like, cancer is the disease I think that human beings fear most.
I can tell you, I need to piggyback on that, because when I used to lecture in colleges, I said, what are the two biggest things that Americans fear most? Like, what are the two biggest diseases? And they would say HIV. I said, HIV is 100% preventable.
Yeah. And HIV, you can keep it at bay. It's basically like diabetes now. Yeah. It's a chronic condition.
A chronic disease.
It's like asthma or diabetes or acid reflux or something. Yeah. Or rheumatoid arthritis, you take a medicine.
And
mostly you can control it.
But the two biggest things that Americans fear the most are cancer and Alzheimer's.
Oh.
Because there's no velvet rope
right.
for each,
there's no
velvet
there's
rope
there's
for each of them.
Each.
Any that can hit anybody. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if you saw the movie with the beautiful redhead, Julianne Moore, about that she had the Alzheimer gene and she got it really young.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh my goodness. And it's about how she had to have her children tested and one of the three has the gene, so that child was definitely going to get Alzheimer's.
Wow.
And she would leave notes for herself, and they would say, hey, whatever her name was, Judy, if you don't remember your name, take these pills right here. Like, she wanted to, like, she, like, left herself notes so she wouldn't suffer. And it's, and the same thing with cancer. I think people say, well, I'm not going to, I have a good friend who said she doesn't like pills, whatever. She goes, you know, she's having some breast issues. She goes, I'm not going to do chemotherapy. I'm not going to do surgery. I'm Jenny. And I said, this is a girl who won't even wear sunglasses because she's afraid of death and whatever. And I was like, you're the person that I know that's the most afraid of death. And you won't do whatever it takes to save your life. And she goes, no, I just know that I'm not going to do it. I said, you know what? I respect what you're saying right now, but I also know you're speaking from a place of ignorance, meaning not, I'm not calling you stupid, you just don't know how, whoever does it, you don't, I'd be ignorant to say I would do XYZ if I had Alzheimer's because I'm not in that position. And what I say now is not what's going to be
once you know you have something that they tell you you have it, the shit changes.
Exactly.
Like, there's Jenny before
exactly.
and there's Jenny after. But
right.
the thing I will say about cancer as opposed to Alzheimer's is people beat cancer. Like you
they
have.
Can't.
People
yeah.
do not beat Alzheimer's.
No, they do
People
not.
Do not beat Alzheimer's
no,
at all. Unless there is somebody that I have not heard
They're working
of
they're
yet.
Working on some
yeah.
stuff
but cancer
no.
cancer is not the death sentence.
That
it's
used
not
to
the
be.
Automatic
yes.
death sentence.
That
there
it
we
used
go.
To
it's
be.
Not the automatic. So how did going through this and overcoming it influence you and your writing going forward? Like I said, everybody gets to a point where something happens to them, and there's a before and after. On the way to my father's funeral, my ex-husband and I were in a really bad car accident, and my face was, like, smashed up, and I had stitches and blah, 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 and have the stitches done without anesthesia so I could still go to the funeral and give the eulogy at Trinity Church in Washington Heights.
Wow.
Yeah, 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 because one of my cousins worked there. So anyway, there is Michelle before the accident, and there's Michelle after. So
wow.
for you and your diagnosis, there's Jenny before and this Jenny after.
That's funny that you say that, because I don't know, the play that I wrote was called The Chronicles of BC Jenny, and BC throughout the place means before cancer and breast cancer. So it meant before cancer and breast cancer. Throughout the play, it went back and forth between I'm BC Jenny, or, you know, I'm before cancer Jenny, or I'm breast cancer Jenny. And
so what is the difference?
There's a huge
between
difference.
Between the two Jennies.
I think that, and even right after cancer, because I'll say, and I don't know if it's cancer plus age, you know, but I definitely think I have a pair of balls that I didn't have before.
Mm. But that could just be from turning 40.
It could be that. It could be that. But I do think that I'm bold, and I sit on this weird fence. Like, there are things that I'll do, like, oh, I won't do that because I had cancer. Or I'll do like, I'm totally doing that because I had cancer. Like, you know, so there are things that'll make me, I can be very reckless about certain things, or I can be super cautious about certain things. Mm. And it just depends on the situation and the mood. And de que lado se me, you know, my mother said, me desperté con el moño torcido, you know?
Translate for people.
Oh, like I woke up with my ponytail on the wrong direction. Oh,
that's like getting up on the wrong side of bed.
Yeah, I woke
that's
up with my ponytail
That's like getting twisted. Up on the wrong side of bed yeah. for you blanquitos.
Yeah, I woke up with my ponytail twisted in the wrong way, and then you can't twisted. Talk to me if it's twisted, oh, you know? So I think that, It let me, first of all, it created a sense of charity in me that I didn't know I had. Like I said, I'm everybody's cancer madrina. The phone rings, I'm like, okay, I'll talk to you. I will talk to them. Do you want me to call that person? I'll call. Do you want me to talk to your mother about this? Do you want me to talk to your father about this? Do you want me to call this teacher called me and said, I need you to find me somebody to talk
wow.
to. I mean, it's, and I will like, I want to help, like I want to help whomever. And also a brief Reader's Digest version of my story. When I got diagnosed, I was told that I was too young and didn't have a family history, and there was no way I had cancer. It took me a year to get diagnosed. They kept telling me there was nothing wrong with me, that I was exaggerated, that I'm a drama queen, there's nothing wrong with me. I had a job, a great corporate job. I am a college educated Latina who obviously has a great domination of the English language, and I was thrown away by the medical community. So I can only imagine an undocumented or a woman who just got, even she just came from Puerto Rico, whatever, it doesn't have to be undocumented, somebody who doesn't speak English, someone who doesn't have the means, or someone whose husband just left her and doesn't have the means, or doesn't have, who's
someone who's timid.
Yeah. Someone who's timid. Who's gonna advocate
who's
for her?
Someone who's not used to speaking up for themselves.
Who's gonna advocate for her?
Someone who's always had someone else speaking for them.
Yes.
Because sometimes we are not taught to speak up for ourselves.
Exactly.
We are taught to be, well, all women are taught to be quiet.
Yes.
To look pretty.
To stand back.
And be quiet and to stand back. And it's time that we start standing up for ourselves. Well, we are standing up for ourselves.
We are standing up for ourselves.
And I think that's going to lead us to your story, Jenny.
Ah! This is actually one of my favorite monologues from my very first play, Dancing in the Mirror, that I did not cast Michelle in.
That's fine. I got cast in all the things.
So it's, I haven't read it in a long time, but it's one of my favorites. So I'll read this.
It's a Jenny before.
It's a BC Jenny, as in before
it's
cancer
a Jenny. Before,
Jenny, before
okay.
cancer Jenny.
Well, here we go.
So it's called Milagros Unisex Beauty Salon. So introduction, Milagros. Middle age, wearing a hairdresser smock and is barefoot. She has rollers in her hair and a plastic cap like the ones used when coloring hair. There is a chair center stage that the actress uses as her salon chair. Abusadora by Wilfredo Vargas is playing as pictures of typical Latin beauty salons are flashed on the screen. Music fades as lights come up. I was very much, this is an aside, because I was very much inspired being a New Yorker by the salons that we all go to. So that's what I was
Dominican hair salons are supposed to be the best.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to recreate here. So here it is. Hola, Jenny, ¿cómo estás? Here she is, everybody. Little Miss Job with Benefits herself. Come sit right here. I've been doing your hair since you were 10 years old and you moved back to Nueva York and you get done the fancy beauty parlors. But I don't know how much you pay, but you better get your money back because you always come back to Miami looking like a haystack. My son, he's fine. Gave me a grandson already. You know how boys are. Don't want to marry the girl now. But I teach him to take care of his baby. When are you and those best friends of you going to give your parents some grandchildren? Those girls were just here talking the same caca you talk about. The men are no good. The men that you have to wait for the mister right now. That's why you girls are single. There is no Mr. Right now out there. You need to find a good hombre who doesn't beat you and works hard for his family. That's the Mr. Right guy. Why do you come here to get your hair done and nails done if you don't want no man? How old are you? 29? In Santo Domingo, you will all be jamonas, old maid. You only have 2-3 more years to find a man and then forget about it. You're going to need to find men soon. Cásate. Is there something wrong with you? Wait a minute. You're not a lesbiteriana, are you? Ah, okay, because that will kill your mother. Look at Yolanda over there under the hair dryer. She's your age with new twins. Yoli, give me one of those little angels. You see, Jenny, you don't want one of these? You don't feel bad that Jolie is your age and has a family and not running around like you and your friends? Here, hold her so you can see what it feels like. Maybe something will happen inside of you. Do you feel something? No. Give me that baby. You're ashamed of the Latina woman race. Cásate. It's no right. You live in New York alone. Every woman needs a man. Oh, don't get fresh, young lady. You don't know nothing about men's. You think you do, pero you don't. You think just because you have a good job in Nueva York, you're better than everybody else. I remember my son used to think you so beautiful, pero you never pay attention to him. It could have been you with my grandbaby. Just think about that for a minute. You need a man. There you know what real happiness is. Right, Yoli? I said Jenny needs to get married like you. No. Why not? No. Why you cry? Tell me. Mija, if you can't tell your trust, if you cannot trust your hairdresser, who are you gonna trust? Con la babysitter. Qué perro. Pero did he say he was sorry? Oh, okay, then everything good, no? Why not? He said he was sorry. He don't have a good job with benefit? He don't wake you up at night to feed the baby so you don't forget? Ah, okay, that's a good man. I don't understand you young girls today. In my day, if your husband said he's sorry, you forget about it and you keep your family together. You don't go around telling your business like this. You smile, hold your baby, and let them think you happy. Ay, mamita, just be glad you got your children young. You don't stay single for long. You will find a good man who cares that you're not a virgin. Pero you better start looking or you'll be just like La Jenny. So, Jenny, you in Miami? What are you in Miami for? A party. You came all the way from Nueva York for a party? Now that you one of those, como se dice, big leaguers, you can do that. Big league, you know, like baseball players con mucho dinero. You went to university, right? I wanted my Pablo to do that. Pero he has his baby now. When I was 29, I already had my 3 kids and a husband. Now my son start more young than me. I always wanted to run around like you and your friends, pero I had my husband and my children. Me used to be very beautiful like you. Every guy wanted to go out with me. Pero my mother didn't let me go out of the house because I had big tetas from 3 years old and every boy in town wanted to come talk to me. Ay! Ay, ay, ay! Put the radio high! That song is about me! Wilfredo Bridas wrote that song about me because all the boys in my town liked me. ¿Qué hiciste, usadora? ¿Qué hiciste? Pero me no talk to them. I wanted to be a professional. So I went to beauty school. I married the first man my mother let me date. Ay, ya. Put the radio off. My mother should have let him in the house. Then maybe I don't fall in love so fast and I don't work so hard. Because let me tell you, I washed a lot of heads to buy this beauty parlor. But my husband, he's okay. I work hard and take care of his kids. He said this beauty parlor is my other baby, so I should take care of it myself. He never take me out, but he comes here every Saturday to get a manicure. For what? To take another woman out. That's for what? Leave him? Why? So she can take him? No way, Jose. If he don't want me, he will leave. But no, he always come home. He knows a good woman when he sees one. I just won't pretty him for her. He doesn't like it when I play abusadora at home because he always catches me dancing in the mirror. He said that I need to stop pretending I'm young and get back to my housework. He said I'm not abusadora and that I am a grandmother and a vieja and that I need to act like one. But he forget that I am still a woman. The only time he touches me is 4 o'clock in the morning before, because that's when he goes to work. And he goes to work every day like a good man. I learned to sleep through it now. He's not romantic. Ay, Jenny, what a life you have. No children or husband to worry about or make you or make your hair gray. I wish I had your life. A good job in Nueva York, getting your hair done and going to fancy parties and wearing sexy clothes. Look at that sexy body long and hard, because when the kids come and the husband attacks at 4 o'clock in the morning, it'll be, I know, mija, don't get married now. Now's when you're interesting. Go to your fancy party and live your life. Don't turn out like Jolie. Lights out.
Oh, my God. Everybody's got a Jolie in their family. Chin, chin. We are the Latino. Hoda and Kathy Lee. We are available for bookings. Mm-hmm. Please just go to www.michelcaldo.com. And where can we find Jenny Saldana's fabulousness? Saldana.
Very good.
I'm a fast learner.
I'm actually working on a travel blog now called Jenny on a Block.
Oh.
And that's on all social media, Jenny on a Block, not from the, or on Jenny on a Block on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. So I can be found on that. And or Jenny Saldana. It's actually Jenny Saldana.com. Don't let you put Enyas in.
No, you can't have URLs. Tildes. There's no such thing as a tilde in a URL.
So, but yeah,
no accent either.
No accent. But yeah, I'll take Jenny on a Block on all social media. It's easy to find me.
That's amazing. I'm so happy that you're on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
So if you have one thing to say, if there's a little brown or beige girl sitting in her little half bedroom in a top floor tenement walk up in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, Pittsburgh, Australia, anywhere, that doesn't believe she can be an artist and wants to be more than anything else, what would you tell her?
I would say two things. Wear your hair however you want it. Always smile.
And unless a man is telling you to do it.
Exactly. Always smile. And know your body. Own your body. And the last thing, that's because of health that we were talking about. But one last thing I would say to every brown girl out there. The dream is alive and it's yours too. It's yours for the taking. The pie is big enough for all of us.
This is Jenny Saldana and Michelle Carlo, the brown and the beige girl. Signing out.
Yay.
And we're back with Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is a song, another song that Jenny picked. And I thought it was like the perfect song for what we were talking about women's health and advocacy. And it's called La Vida es un Carnival, Life is a Party, by Celia Cruz, one of the most famous salsa singers ever. And this is from her 1998 album, Mi Vida es Cantar, My Life is a Song. And not even Jenny Saldana could correct my pronunciation of that. Well, maybe she could, but hopefully she'll be gracious enough not to. Oh, well, we started doing this show on November 15th, 2016, and today marks the halfway point of our second season. And now there's a chance that Radio Free Brooklyn could be represented at South by Southwest next year. Isn't that cool? I mean, wouldn't it be amazing to see your community radio station represented at South by Southwest? Well, you can help Radio Free Brooklyn do just that by doing one simple thing. Vote. Here's how to do it. Just head over to radiofreebrooklyn.com/SXSW. radiofreebrooklyn.com/SXSW. To cast your vote for our panel. It's called DIY Radio and Local Music Communities. Voters will help choose the panels for South by Southwest 2018. So yeah, I didn't even realize that people chose what they were going to see next March. So the more votes we get, the better chance we can get to take Radio Free Brooklyn on the road. Find out more information and cast your vote by going to www.radiofreebrooklyn.com/, I forgot how to say that in Spanish, never mind, SXSW. And make sure you tell your friends too. Voting ends on August 25th. Thanks so much for being part of our Radio Free Brooklyn community. And guess what, kids? That's our show. You have been listening to Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. Like I said before, when I started this show on November 15, 2016, I had no clue whatsoever how to put a radio show together. Some of you listening may be thinking, yeah, she still doesn't. But you know what? Later for that, because I know a lot more now than I did 8 months ago, and I'm still learning. Hey, did not knowing how to do music keep the Ramones from forming a band? Yeah, exactly. Stay tuned for Brooklyn Bandstand next, and we'll close with another artist that Jenny picked. And this artist always makes me think of the summer. The late, great Prince with I Would Die For You from 1984's Purple Rain. See you next week!